Hiya, Wanju. Hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Andres Vail's latest documentary, Riefenstahl, delves into the dark and deep archive of the private estate of Leni Riefenstahl, exposing the deep ties the filmmaker had with the Nazi regime. Andres uses footage and correspondence from Riefenstahl's own personal records, including hidden interviews and documents that present a different side of a director who has been both acclaimed and criticised for her role in the rising Nazi regime. Riefenstahl is a powerful and impactful film that shows just how deep the director was within Hitler's regime and how much she tried to micromanage her own public-facing image down to the point of giving precise direction to those who were interviewing her. This is captivating work from Andres Vail. In the following interview with Andres, recorded ahead of Riefenstahl's Australian screening at the German Film Festival, which Andres will be in attendance for, the documentarian talks about the importance of creating the final statement on Leni Riefenstahl's filmography at this point in time. Riefenstahl screens nationally from 30th of April 2025 at German Film Festival. Visit germanfilmfestival.com.au for screening details. I'll stick a link in the show notes. If you want to find out more about the work that we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au or follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Blue Sky at thecurbau. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. Visit patreon.com/thecurbau where you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. And look, if you are unable to financially support us, that's okay. Then please consider also sharing this interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they'd like it. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. Here is a clip from Riefenstahl, followed by my chat with Andres Vail.
Die Politik ist das Gegenteil von dem, was mich mein ganzes Leben lang erfüllt hat. Das ist Kunst für mich.
Also, dass Kunst und Politik eine Wechselwirkung eingehen können, das glauben Sie nicht. Bis heute nicht.
But let's start talking about Riefenstahl. I found it such a captivating film. And I guess the obvious question is, why make a documentary about Leni Riefenstahl? Why? What was the thing that really kicked you off to say, yes, I want to dedicate my time to putting her story on screen?
Yeah, for me, the access to her estate was the convincing argument. Of course, I knew she was manipulating everything what she had, and she was a master in fabricating stories and lies. And of course, there would be a lot of gaps in her estate. But very soon, I was rewarded by her private films. They were totally unknown. I was rewarded by diaries, personal notes, especially the drafts of her memoirs. They were quite different to the printed memoirs. For example, most of the stories in terms of the violence of her father, the violence she experienced partly with Goebbels and also with her first lover and mostly with her husband, that was not in her memoirs, in the printed memoirs, but I found it in her notes, in the drafts for the memoirs. So it was interesting to see. It was not the moral question. In fact, I knew, okay, she's lying and she's fabricating stories. But when does she shift a narration? For example, the Konski narration, there are actually three of them. When she was a war correspondent in Poland regarding the massacre. So one story till 1952 was, yes, I was an eyewitness. But then she had these denazification trials. And she always said, no, I learned about the atrocities, about the Holocaust only after the war. And to be an eyewitness of the first massacre There's a little contradiction. She's just said she fabricated the story. I was far away. I heard something from far away. There was some shooting, but I was never an eyewitness. And the third story came up with the letter of the adjutant. And he wrote, well, she gave a stage direction. And the Jews who had to dig a grave for German soldiers, they panicked, wanted to run away, and they were shot because of the stage direction. So Riefenstahl didn't intend the massacre, but she was like a catalyst for it. So you have these different aspects of storytelling, and the interesting question is when she is telling what kind of story, and then it starts to get interesting.
And you take us through this tour of her archive, but as we get to know who she is and the lies that she told about her own involvement in things as well, I couldn't help but wonder, like, why would she hold and keep all of these different documents for herself? Right? Why would she have them in her own personal archive? Did you come up with an answer yourself as you were going through that archive?
Yeah, I think she was yearning. She had a huge longing for a renaissance, rehabilitation, and because after the war she was not able to continue her career as a director, and so she had to t take all these pictures of the Nuba. She was successful being a photographer, but not anymore as a film director. And she wanted to get some sort of redemption, rehabilitation. And taping all these phone calls, that was also the fan mail. Yeah, hundreds of letters. It was some sort of confirmation. Now the German people, they consider me to be just an unpolitical artist, a great artist, and I get celebrated again. So it was like to prove the next generation, look, that's my reality. Yeah, I am just celebrated, and that's what she wanted.
Which is, when you mention that, the fascinating thing is I was looking over the 2014 Sight and Sound poll of the best documentaries, and Triumph of a Will ended up at number 47. It's equal alongside a few other films, but like films like Waltz with Bashir as well. And to me, your film really asserts that no, we shouldn't be holding any of her works up to acclaim because, for starters, the impact that they had, but also it's recontextualizing how they're being critically assessed over the decades since she's passed away and since they were shot as well. Was that an intention to kind of reassert the critical approach to like Triumph of the Will or her work in general, even Olympia, which has had a bit of a critical reassessment over the past decade since it ended up in the Criterion Collection, which is such a big thing. But I'm curious if you can talk about that in some capacity.
Yeah, the headline of our work was something like ambiguity, ambivalence. So it was not our aim just to restage a tribunal. We also, when you think of how we deal with Olympia, we show she was a great editor, and that's what that was. She was a great editor. She was also a good director because she knew which DOP is the right one for a specific scene. So she selected Willi Zielke for the prologue, for example, and he was great. And she knew it, and she had trust, and she was able to engage innovative DOPs, maybe not, with not so much experience, but she was a very, very poor writer, for example. But regarding her abilities, the dark side or the night side of Olympia is what happened to the DOP Willi Zielke after he got psychotic. He was forcibly sterilized, and she was not. She didn't intervene at all. So she was part of the ideology. And for me, the basic result of dealing with the archive of our state, you can't separate aesthetics from ideology, from politics. And that's something you really see in the film, I think, when you watch Olympia, the sequence with the high diving scene. It's terrific. It's great. But then what happens to the DOP? She agreed that he should, somebody like him, he's sick, and he should get sterilized. And so for me, it was very important to see, and that's a fascist part of the ideology, to see the celebration of the beauty of the perfect body means, in her context, always the contempt of the weakness, the contempt of the sickness, the contempt leading to exclusion, to death, to extermination in the very end. And so you can separate it.
What are you hoping that Australian audiences might get from your documentary and being able to be on the ground talking with you about it as well?
Well, I think for me, it's a warning. It's not a film just about Leni Riefenstahl and the last century. It's a warning, and maybe even out of the future, how easily people get seduced. Seduced by fabricated lies, and even they know they are fabricated lies, there's a longing for lies. And that's something we experience right now, that in times of fake news, in times of fabricated lies, it doesn't matter that people even know they are lies, but they love lies. And they get seduced because there's some sort of easy explanation how the world functions into good and bad and us and them. And there's always this phenomenon of scapegoating. So migrants are criminals and lunatics, and they disturb us. They spoil our blood. Getting seduced to this kind of, supremacy. It's a question of supremacy. And that's something, it's a phenomenon we experience worldwide at the moment. So for me, it's both important to look closer at the Leni Riefenstahl. We have a chance to look into how she became what she was in the very end. This breeding ground for fascism, it's a role model for it, but at the same time it's a mirror how easily we get seduced. So it's something, she's not an alien, she is not coming from another star, and she's not a symptom or a symbol for evil. She's one of us. She comes out of the middle of society, and that's why she's so present.
Well, it's been great to be able to talk to you about the film. Thank you very much for recontextualizing her work in this way.
Yeah.
It means a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you too for your interest.
Yep,
Don't take
you're
it
welcome.
For granted. Yeah. Thank you.
Enjoy your time
take
in Australia.
Care.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this chat with Andres Vell about his documentary Riefenstahl, which is screening at the German Film Festival from 30th of April 2025. For other interviews and reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. And if you can, please share this with your film-loving friends. We hope they'd enjoy it just as much as you have. Right, I'll see you on the next one.